Jaya Radha Madhava Ma Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Ma Kunja Bihari Vijana Pala Rupa Giri Vada Dhanate Yasunanandana Rajajanurandana Yasunanandana Rajajanurandana Bodhatiravarachamade
Tata Satishi Shima, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandanada Bhaktivedanta Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Goti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sai Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sridvaita Gadadha, Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopita Sayam Kun Radhakunda Kidi Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturanam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lassi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I'd like to welcome everyone who's joining us on the internet. We got a lot of people. Rasika, Lina, Haripriya, Raja Prema. You remember her? She's an old VG devotee. She lives in Slovenia. Leela Mundry, Anna Kelly, Anuradha, she's from Fiji also. Asachi Mata, she's from Fiji. Remember her? Remember Asachi Mata? Norma, Leela Shakti from the United States. Clara, Rivatanandana from Fiji too. Remember Rivatanandana? No, you don't. These are all devotees from Fiji. Mayapur Chandra from Hawaii, soon to be in Govardhan. And Rivatanandana. Okay. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, ninth canto, ninth chapter, text 49. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aye. Yat Tat Brahma Param Sukshmam Ashunyam Shunya Kalpitam Bhagavan Vasudeveti Yang Vinante He Satvataha Yattad Brahma Param Sukshmam Ashunyam Shunya Kalpitam Bhagavan Vasudevete Yam Grinante Satvataha Yattad Brahma Param Sukshmam Ashunyam Shunya Kalpitam Bhagavan Vasudevete Yam Grinanti Satvataha Yattad Brahma Param Sukshmam Ashunyam Shunya Kalpitam Bhagavan Vasudevete Yam Grinanti Satvataha. Tulsi Devi. Amazing. Okay. Yat, that which. Tat, such. Brahma Param, Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Sukshmam, spiritual. beyond all material conceptions. Ashunyam, not impersonal or void. Sunyakalpitam, imagined to be void by less intelligent men. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva, Krishna. Iti, thus. Yam, whom. Grinante, sing about. He, indeed. Satvataha, pure devotees. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Krishna, is extremely difficult to understand for unintelligent men who accept him as impersonal or void, which he is not. The Lord is therefore understood and sung about by pure devotees. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 11, Vedanti tat tat faviras tatvam yajnanam advihyam prameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjate. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the origin of everything. Brahman is the partial representation of Bhagavan, and Vasudeva, the Supersoul, living everywhere and in everyone's heart, is also an advanced realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one comes to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, when one realizes that Vasudeva is both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman, he is then in perfect knowledge. Krishna is therefore described by Arjuna as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. The words Param Brahma refer to the shelter of the impersonal Brahman and also of the all-pervading Supersoul. When Krishna says Tyaktva Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mam Iti, this means that the perfect devotee, after perfect realization, returns home back to Godhead. Maharaj Katvanga accepted the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because of his full surrender, he achieved perfection. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasty of Angshuman. So, yatta brahma padam sukshmam asunyam shunyakalpitam bhagavan vasudeveti yam grinante hi satvati satvataha. So, om ganati vidanda sha gyananjana shlakaya chakshur meditam yena tasmai shigurve namaha. So this is the last verse in this story about Maharaj Katvanga, who we talked about yesterday. And we were speaking yesterday how devotees like Srila Prabhupada, they didn't need to give up everything in the final days of their life. They actually continued with their preaching service, and we talked about how Prabhupada wanted fighters, not sit-down devotees. In other words, people who fought, not with each other, but fought for Krishna in preaching Krishna consciousness. So, in other words, the conclusion of yesterday was that there's no need of a devotee to just go to Vrindavan and sit down. And Prabhupada wrote his famous prayer called Vrindavan Bhajan, in which he elaborates on this. He talks about something called Nirjana Bhajan. Nirjana Bhajan means, Nirjana means without people. So we just sit and chant. And Prabhupada soundly criticized people who engage in it. And of course, some people are unqualified, but Prabhupada soundly criticized. And he said, basically, if you think you're entering into the Lord's pastimes, you're eating the mind's bananas. Prabhupada used that particular expression. Very interesting poem. We ask you all to read the poem. So anyway, but for a Kshatriya, it's a little bit different. For one who is engaged in management on the countrywide basis, maybe in the GBC basis, I don't know, then it's... I don't know if it applies to me. But anyway, so if one's engaged in management, shut your business. And, you know, all the accoutrements that come with being a kshatriya, like the opulences, then it is necessary. So we see it is necessary to renounce and change one's status in the final days. And we see that in many cases. We see that in the case of Lord Rishabhadev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, in the final days of his pastimes, he gave up everything. He was acting as a king, of course. Turned everything over to his children, 100 children. He had quite a few children. And he undertook the process of Jata Yoga. Jata Yoga means he would wander around acting stupid, basically. You may say, what's the reason for wandering around acting stupid? Well, the reason is that nobody will engage you in prajalpa then or waste your time. So that's it's for him, that's bona fide. Of course, we don't advocate. In Kali Yuga, everybody's wandering around stupid, so there's no need of someone imitating Rishabhadev, although Prabhupada talks about how the Jains, following what a person named Maharaj Arhat, actually imitate Lord Rishabhadev, but it's not bona fide. And then you have other examples of Yudhisthira Maharaj in the final days when he found out that Krishna had left the planet. He and the Pandavas marched off to the north. There are so many examples of people changing their status of life if they were engaged in management, like heavy material management, so they could focus their mind. What to speak of Maharaj Parikshit? Maharaj Parikshit, when he got the opportunity, he just gave everything up. When as soon as he found out that he was going to be bitten by the snake bird Takshaka, he took that as a blessing and he just gave everything up, even though he was young at that particular juncture. So the point is that we should always be preparing for the inevitable, the demise of this material body. We were speaking last night to some people about this. We were at a program, and there was one lady who recently received a kidney transplant, and she got a longer life because of the kidney transplant. And I told her, it doesn't mean you're not going to die. She was shocked to hear it. You know, people are shocked. I mean, just like, for example, I was preaching to my, or trying to preach, to my brother, who is... I mean, he's like an imitation Hiranyakashipu. But anyway, so he's not quite a devotee. You can understand that. So I've tried to preach to him. I tell him this life is temporary, and he tells me, don't spoil it. Don't spoil my enjoyment in this world. Please be quiet. He won't take a drop of prasadam because he's afraid that he'll become like me. He won't enter into a Hare Krishna temple. When I first joined, he just sat outside the temple for 8 hours looking at the door. And I invited him in, please come in, please come in, but no. So anyway, so people are very reluctant. Of course, that's the most wonderful thing, a honey, honey, bhutani. Gachanti Yamalayam. That's Yudhisthira Maharaj's statement to Yamaraj. What is the most wonderful thing? The question was given. And the most wonderful thing is that a honey, again and again. Bhutani, the living entities, gachanti yamalayam, they are going to Yamaraj, or death. Kimascharya, dakparam. It is so amazing that we don't think it's going to happen to us. So, anyway, so if one is engaged in, you know, heavy management, whatever it is, at a certain point in life, it is a good idea to engage full-time in Krishna's service. And Krishna service for us means hearing, chanting, Navabhakti, 9 processes of devotional service. So Maharaj Katvanga set that example for us, and Rishabhadev set that example for us, Lord Rishabhadev, and Yudhisthira Maharaj set the example for us, and Pariksit Maharaj, and so many devotees set the example for us. So that's That's very, very important. So that's one point here. And then there's another point that Prabhupada brings out here in the purport and also in the verse. The words use the shunya kalpitam. So as it's said in Prabhupada's pranam mantra, nivrishesha shunyavadi, Prabhupada came to address in the Western world the predominance of impersonalism and voidism. So here we talk about impersonalism and voidism. So it says here that unintelligent men who accept him as impersonal and void, he's difficult to understand for those unintelligent men. So why is that? Why is he very difficult to understand? He's difficult to understand, as described by Krishna in the Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samavrita Mudayam Navijanati. Because Krishna himself makes himself difficult to understand. He employs his illusory potency, which in this particular verse in the Gita is described as Yogamaya, but we're actually talking about the expansion of Yogamaya known as Mahamaya, Krishna's illusory energy. So, in other verses in the Gita, Krishna mentions this too. Namam duskrutino mudha prabhajante naranama mayaya pratigyanam asurama vimashrita. People can't understand or approach him. Those who are working like asses, mudha, namam duskrutino mudha, lowest of mankind. There's many species of human beings that are actually almost impossible for them to understand God consciousness, 400,000 species. Very few of them are actually able to understand philosophy. Naranama amaya pratigyana, those whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, that means speculators, mayavadis, impersonalists, and the suram of matrita, that means people like Ravana. And then Krishna, I'm trying to think of that other verse where, ashradana purusha dharma shasha parantapa prapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Krishna also talks about having lack of faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says those who do not have that faith, they return to birth and death in this material world. And in the ninth chapter, first verse of the Gita, Krishna states, idam tu te guyatamam pravakshav nadasuyave ganaviganam sahitam yadgatva mokshase shubhat. He states that one is able, specifically referring to Arjuna, to understand this knowledge because he is not envious of Krishna. So in other words, the envy of the living entity, which manifests itself as impersonalism and voidism. Try to understand that. Impersonalism and voidism are not the root of the problem. The root of the problem is envy. So Krishna says in this chapter, in this verse that we just cited in the Gita, that Arjuna, I am teaching this to you because you are not envious of me. First verse, ninth chapter of the Gita. Jnana Viganam Sahitam. I'm giving you knowledge and realization because you are not envious of me. And then in the 15th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, I am giving everyone intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So, to summarize it all, if one is envious of Krishna, if one wants to forget Krishna, Krishna gives the person intelligence how to do it, gives the person facility how to do it. That's interesting. In other words, if one is an abject materialist, Krishna will give that materialist a philosophy to be a materialist or an atheist. Like nowadays, so many people are writing books about atheism, and ultimately the author is Krishna. So Krishna is writing books about atheism. And the scientists, they are looking, trying to discover different planets, and they're not seeing God or whatever. Krishna is actually doing that also. He's clouding their intelligence or giving them specific intelligence on how to forget him. So why does Krishna do that? The reason Krishna does that is that Krishna is giving us free will. And by giving us free will, he gives us the ability to forget him. Sometimes people ask the question, why can't Krishna just have us remember and make us Krishna conscious? Well, the problem with that is that we wouldn't have free will then. We wouldn't be living entities. We wouldn't be parts and parcels of Krishna. Because as parts and parcels of Krishna, we have the independence or the tendency to have independence the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We cannot be absolutely independent, but we can be relatively independent. And if Krishna were to take that away from us, I mean, one time was praying, Krishna, please take away my free will so I can just surrender to you. But it's not intelligent. Because if Krishna took away your free will, you couldn't surrender to him. Because you'd be a robot. You'd be like my computer. Right? Sometimes I wonder why my computer doesn't surrender to me and obey my orders. It's just a machine. So, do you want to be a machine or do you want to be a living entity? So it's required that Krishna allows us to express, not only gives us the free will or allows us to have free will, but gives us facility for the free will. That's extremely important. So if someone is an impersonalist or voidist, I mean, not just an agnostic. Agnostic is something different. Those are innocent people. Innocent people means there may be a God, there may not be a God, I don't know. No one's proven it to me yet, either way. Okay. Those are innocent people. We approach them. And we can prove there's God. We have our proof. The Shastric proof, Pratyaksha, Bhagavam Dharmyam, direct experience proof, chant Hare Krishna, join with the devotees, experience happiness, experience relief from all distress. We have our proofs. But if someone is an abject, that means a determined atheist, or a mayavadi, impersonalist, whatever, don't waste your time with them. It's a waste of time. For a second-class devotee. You got it? As much as you'd like to be first class, right now we should aspire to be second class. Third class, don't even aspire for it. A third class means you worship the deities in the temple and everyone else is just meant for your own sense gratification. That's third class, Kanishta. Second class devotee, you see, innocent, you see the envious, you see the devotees, you see the Lord, and you interact with them accordingly. Especially, you make friends with the devotees, you worship the Lord, you approach the innocent and give them Krishna consciousness according to what they're able to digest. Not that you just dump the whole thing on them in 1 second and drive them away from Krishna consciousness. Not that you tell them they're like a hog, dog, or a camel, or an ass. That's not preaching. You're a hog, you know, that's what Bhagavatam says. It's true, they are. They are like hogs, dogs, camels, and ass. People are not Krishna conscious, it's a fact. But we don't tell that. We give them gradually, a gradual dose of Krishna consciousness. And then the envious we just avoid. That's it. Don't waste your time preaching to those who are envious. I mean, devotees waste so much time with that. But if you're an Uttama Adhikari, you can make the envious Krishna conscious. This story is in Chaitanya's pastimes, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was approached by Buddhists who were very envious of him. So envious, he defeated them, but they were so envious they wanted to cause him to fall down. How did they try to make him fall down? They gave him a plate of untouchable food, which probably meant meat in this particular respect. And they said, it's Mahaprasadam, you got to take it. And of course, when a devotee is offered Mahaprasadam, you have to take it, right? You can't just say no, that's an offense. Even if you just woke up in the morning and the Mahaprasadam is on your bed. That's Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did that. Of course, that doesn't mean you have to eat the whole plate. That's another idiocy. That if someone offers you Mahaprasadam, okay, then you eat all the three plates from the altars here. Just to honor. No, you take a little bit. That's honor. Honor doesn't mean wolf it down. You're not supposed to be vrikodara, wolf belly. So, anyway, so these Buddhists approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this untouchable food, and they said it's Mahaprasadam, and Lord Chaitanya was getting ready to take it. And then a big eagle swooped down from the sky, picked up this untouchable food, dropped it on the head of the chief Buddhist. He fell unconscious, almost in a coma, probably was going to die. And the other Buddhist said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please save our guru, Guru Maharaj. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, chant Hare Krishna. And so he initiated these people who were envious. And they chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And guess what happened? They went to their guru and they chanted in his ear to bring him back to consciousness. And they initiated, they became gurus. See how easy it is to become a guru? Amarga guru hoy tore desh. Wow. You can be a demon 1 second, next second you become a guru. Anyway, so they initiated their guru, and the guru came up, and they all became great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Or, you know, the Haridas Thakur. There's so many stories. Haridas Thakur and the prostitute, how she was envious, had lusty, so many bad qualities, and she was able to be converted to Krishna consciousness. Another story from Chaitanya's pastimes is Gadadhar Das. We're not talking about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. We're talking about Gadadhar Das, who's considered to be an incarnation of the effulgence of Srimati Radharani. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is considered an incarnation of Srimati Radharani, and Gadadhar Das is an incarnation of the effulgence of Srimati Radharani. So what happened is that Gadadhar Das wanted to preach to the Qazi. Qazi means the guy, the Muslim guy who was in charge of this whole area. And he was extremely violent. He was the same one who broke the Mridanga drum later on. So anyway, so he wanted to get him to chant Hare Krishna. So being a Mahabhagwat, he could do stuff like that. So we went to the Qazi's house in the night while the Qazi was sleeping. And went to the door and, barged into the house. Don't try that. That's dangerous. He barged into the house and he basically woke the Qazi up. The Qazi said, what do you want, Gadadhar? And Gadadhar said, I want you to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And the Qazi couldn't believe it. And Gadadhar, the Qazi said, tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Gadadhar Das, he said, why tomorrow? You've already chanted. Hari Bol. So, this is what a Mahabhagwat can do. And we saw Srila Prabhupada, being a Mahabhagwat, was able to accomplish amazing things. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he not only converted, atheists, agnostics, demons, whatever, to Krishna consciousness, but he actually had the lions and tigers and the deer and all the animals in the Jarakanda forest chant Hare Krishna and kiss each other. Shouldn't try that. Especially if you go to India, don't go to the snakes, the cobras, say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We had one, I was in my house in Govardhan, and the electrician was coming to fix the electricity, opens up the electric box, and a cobra jumps out. That's not to scare you all from coming to go to Govardhan. I told the story to Sanatana, and he said, I'll never go to Govardhan after that. So anyway, a cobra jumps out. I didn't go, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. I just went, and ran away. Also chanted Hare Krishna at the same time. So anyway, so we don't have that potency because we're not on the level of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, certainly not on the level of his divine grace to the Prabhupada. But we can approach innocent people. Those people who are not absolute, determined, atheist, agnostics. And we should have arguments about impersonalism and voidism. I mean, there are actually good arguments. Let's say impersonalism. Impersonalism and voidism are different things. Impersonalism means basically that everything is Brahman, undifferentiated Brahman, and we're just an illusion thinking that there's something different. Yeah, which is interesting. I was at a devotee's house in New Zealand, and the gentleman who's a devotee, he asked me to preach to his son. And I said to his son, you know, what is your belief? And the son said, my belief is once I realize I'm Brahman, I'll be happy. And there won't be any Krishna, there won't be any you, there won't be any me, there won't be anybody. We're all Brahman. And I said, why do you think you're going to be happy? Because Brahman doesn't have the characteristics of happiness, ananda. It only has the characteristic of sat. I explained that to him. Brahman has sat, Paramatma has chit, and also sat, and Bhagavan, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, has sat, chit, and ananda, all three aspects. And he said, no, Brahman is... Brahman is ecstasy. You know, I said, no. It just means you understand you exist. Anyway, so I used a very good argument against him thinking that everything was Brahman, that Brahman was superior. And this is the argument that you use against Shankaracharya's philosophy. You say that if Brahman is the most powerful, biggest, because that's what Brahman means, actually the greatest. That's the technical definition of Brahman, the greatest. If it's the greatest, if there's nothing greater than Brahman, then how did Brahman get variety? How did Brahman fall into illusion? Here you are. You admit you're an illusion, right? Everybody here admits they're an illusion. They haven't realized that they're Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. We all think we're the body. So if we're Brahman, how do we get an illusion? That means illusion must be more powerful than Brahman. You can use that on, not on an atheist, but some innocent person. Illusion may be more powerful, is more powerful than Brahman, so therefore we should worship illusion. Because that's God. I mean, of course, we understand Mama Maya Dharajya. That's Krishna's illusion. Daivyeshu Gunamayi. Mama Maya Dharajya. Mama Eva Ye Purpajante. But if you surrender to Krishna, illusion goes away. So that's basically how you defeat the impersonal philosophy, Shankaracharya's philosophy. They cannot understand. They cannot understand how there's variety, and they cannot understand or where illusion comes from. You know, it's just like inconceivable to them. How did it come about? Because if Brahman is one, Brahman couldn't decide anything anyway to be an illusion. Of course, some idiots say that this is just Brahman's pastime. That's another idiotic argument I get sometimes. They say, I'm Brahman, I'm God, and this is just my pastime. And then Prabhupada would respond, and I respond the same way. So your pastime is to get old, to get sick, to die, to suffer. That's a horrible pastime as far as I'm concerned. And then sometimes people say, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. And then I just take their money and I say, okay, your money is my money. So that's all right. I won't report it to the tax department. Anyway, so one time I was preaching at the university and I took someone's bicycle away from them. You know, they had a bicycle at the university. I said, your bicycle is my bicycle. I'm God, you're God, we're all God. Why are you complaining if God takes your bicycle away? So anyway, there's so many arguments you can use against these nonsense philosophies. And voidism is another thing. You know, everything is nothing or void. Or actually, the modern version of voidism is like similar to the Kanadas, atomism. You know, that actually everything is just atoms and everything, atoms and molecules, and it's just like by chance combining to the different varieties. And that's it. I mean, that's why you find many modern scientists, they become Buddhists. They follow Buddhism. It's a very common thing because everything is just chance, happening by chance, atoms coming together. There's no reason in this world. Of course, scientifically, that's impossible for everything to come together by chance and to form things, just like this building. It didn't come about by chance. Anything we have, the drum, nothing comes about by chance that's complex in this world. It just doesn't happen. There's a rule called entropy, a scientific rule, which states that things tend to become less complex. They don't become more complex without the intervention of a conscious living entity, making it more, building something, or making it more complex. Anyway, so this is impersonalism and voidism and how to deal with them. But if someone is a determined impersonalist and voidist, they will never understand Krishna. It's impossible because Krishna covers them. He gives them faith. As described by Krishna in the Gita, that whatever one has faith in, he gives you that faith. If you have faith in a politician, I mean, we saw that in America. Some idiots have faith in a particular politician who should remain nameless. 36% of the population of an idiot. I mean, I'm not going to mention names because they won't let me back in America if I mention the name. But, you know, in America, we have freedom of speech. Anyway, I mean, it's unbelievable. The guy has the intelligence of a three-year-old. I was seeing children last night, you know, new babies who had more intelligence than them. But people have faith in him. And they worship him. And Krishna gives them faith. Because if you want to have faith in an idiot, as we had this game when I was young. It was called Pin the Tail on the Donkey. Ever hear that game? Anyway, whatever it is. So, anyway, I'm not going to describe the game. But anyway, Krishna makes you a donkey, an ass, if you are envious of him, and then you have faith in some idiot. I remember, this is another memory of mine, during the 1970s we were preaching at the universities. That was during the time of the Iranian Revolution. There was a lot of Iranian students at the universities in the United States. And they were talking about how once we get rid of the Shah and, you know, put in someone like Khomeini, then everything will become perfect. It'll become like Vaikuntha. I said the material world will never become perfect, no matter what person you put in charge of a country. And they said, no, you're wrong. And I could see they had firm faith. Probably more faith than most devotees have in the holy names, right? And then, so Krishna does that. So anyway, the question is, how do we develop firm faith like that in Krishna consciousness? That is a real question. Because we have faith in so many other things. We have faith in our own intelligence. We have faith in technology, just like I have faith in my mobile phone, you know. I have faith in my computer. So we develop faith, and we develop faith by associating with those who have faith, by observing. And we mentioned the other day, reading about Prabhupada, other great devotees. This increases our faith in Krishna consciousness by association. And when one has faith, as it's mentioned in the Bible and even the Quran, that one who has faith, one can move mountains. And you see that with Prabhupada. He had this complete faith in the order of his spiritual master. So that faith is essential to be one-pointed in devotional service. And without that faith, then we will not, our mind will be, will be many branched. We will not be determined. So faith is an essential element to be determined, and that faith comes from Krishna, and we have to pray to develop that particular faith, that determination. So any questions or comments? We touched on a lot of subjects in class. Questions, comments, problems, arguments, issues, complaints? Yes, Jairam. Yeah. Okay, let's say if we're envious, first of all, let's say I was envious of you, Jairam, for some reason. The best way to get rid of that is to glorify you. I would speak, oh, Jairam's such a great cook. He's made so many devotees. And then the envy goes away. Another way is you serve the person you're envious of. So it works materially as well as spiritually. So the best way to get rid of envy of Krishna is to serve Krishna, glorify Krishna. Nivritta tarsar gokiyamanas pavoshrat shotra mano biramat kahutma shlopi gunanabhada puman virajetu vina poshutnat. This is the way, the remedial measure for all the material diseases, including envy, to glorify Krishna. But one has to work on it. One has to be able to identify envy. You know, you feel this sensation in your heart. When you're envious of someone, you actually feel this tightness in your chest. Like, ah. You may not do that, but you feel this tightness, and then you just pray to Krishna and serve the person. One should never criticize Vaishnavas. That's the worst possible thing that one could do. I'll tell you, this is one interesting story we'll end class with. I had a dream of Prabhupada. It was about a month ago. Very interesting dream. And what happened is that, anyway, so I met Prabhupada as he was in the 1960s preaching Krishna consciousness. But I was looking like I do today. That's interesting. So, back to the future, so to speak. So anyway, so I met, and I said to Prabhupada, I'm from the future. Anyway, so what a thing to say to Prabhupada. Anyway, Prabhupada said, I know that already. And then he gave me one instruction. He said, don't ever criticize Vaishnavas and go back. So that I take that as an instruction from Prabhupada. Don't ever criticize Vaishnavas. But Lord Chaitanya's devotees are averse. That means they're against. It's part of their nature not to criticize Vaishnavas. No matter what the Vaishnava does, there's always a good quality. You can praise a good quality in a Vaishnava. So that's how you overcome envy. It's a simple method how to overcome envy. Any other questions? We got about 1 minute left before Krishna appears. No? Okay. On that happy note, all glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Actually, there's a note from someone who, from Edwin Chandra. Some of you may know him. He says, all Vaishnavas in Fiji are very loving and caring. He's praising all the Vaishnavas. He heard what I said. That's nice, isn't it? Okay, Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you all for joining us. Lakshmi Devi, Ratna Leka, and Krishna Chandra, Krishna Priya, Pritika, Sandeep, Gopal, Anuradha, Pritika, Laura, Mahavidya, Narayani, Ronald Singh, Shivash, Trish Roy, Sudharma, Jai Radhika, Manohari Radha. Okay. Okay, very well. We'll see the deities now. Okay, here we go. We greet the deities. Oh, Kundalata. Jai, Shishi Gornatai, Gornatai Ki Jai.
Vrindam Hari Pusham Aham Bhajami Govindam Hari Pusham Aham Bhajami Govindam Hari Pusham Aham Bhajami Venam Kanantam Vindadi Layakdaksham Bhavatam Sitam Bhadasundarangam Kandat Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Sobham
Jai, Radhakalok Bihari, Radhakalok Bihari, Kijai.
Sagalan Priti Manti Shan Digayanti Yaganti Angana Chinmaya Jala Vigrasya
Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman
Bhajami
Okay, ready to go.